All right, good morning, everyone. That is, you know, these classes are, they're a blessing. I think about them during the week. But back here at chapter 6, we're going to get out of chapter 6 today. All right, we left off last time at verse 7, and that was a great many people got saved. And then it says, and a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. So they get, now the church is much stronger now. That's just like when Paul got saved. He had the understanding of the Torah. Now, they taught these things for years, the Pharisees. But when they got saved, they saw all the scriptures different. They saw the scriptures pointing to Christ.
Yeah.
And they had, in other words, more foundation was added to the church. Now Satan's real mad because it's going to be, they're going to have an easier time convincing Jewish people. And the disciples in the book of Acts, they didn't know everything. They had their basic training with Jesus, but there were still things they didn't pick up on. And we can see some of the things that they didn't pick up on. And we can use it in our day to avoid some of the problems they went through. Verse 8, and Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. Then there arose certain of the synagogue, which is called the synagogue of the Liberians and the Cyrenians and Alexandrians, and of them of Sicily and of Asia, disputing with Stephen. And they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spake. He was just like Jesus was. They couldn't resist his wisdom. Mm-hmm. Then they suborned men which said, we have heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and against God. And they stirred up the people and the elders and the scribes and came upon him and caught him and brought him to the council. This tells me that whenever a great move of God is in play and victory is won, be ready to wage warfare. All you have to do is tell Satan he can't use the plan he has. Tell Satan that I'll kill your plan in Jesus' name. If whatever you're doing, stop. He has to obey you. But if you don't do that, he'll proceed with whatever plan he has. And when you have more mature Christians, people see things differently. Brother Horton saw things in Acts that I never seen before. He pointed out things that I read over and never thought about. We all do that,
yeah.
in some form. So in warfare, it's the same way. You can see things forming. If you see anything forming against the move of God, take your authority over it. It doesn't take but one of us, because we're more than conquerors. Satan is a conqueror. We're more than that. We've been given full authority. He's been stripped. In order for him to gain a foothold, he always has to create some form of darkness so that he can seem to be an angel of light again. The false prophet and the Antichrist, they can't deploy because within the church there are a few people that won't let them deploy.
That is correct.
They try to. They want to.
That is correct.
But they just can't do it.
That is true, brother.
The church is too mighty. And, you know, you can't look at the people that's doing it and everything. It didn't take but 10 men for God to spare Sodom and Gomorrah and the surrounding cities. Just 10. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't take a lot of people. It just takes somebody to have faith. So whatever you see working against or forming against a move of God, take authority over it. You don't even have to tell anybody, but you just have to do it. Somebody's got to take authority. Now, they knew that they were after Stephen, but they caught him. And Jesus told them plainly that what you bind on earth is bound in heaven. What you allow on earth is allowed in heaven. All they had to do is tell Satan he can't do that. But they may not have connected those two thoughts together yet. you can know about a truth. It's one thing to have heard about it, but whatever we hear about, it's up to us to become skilled in it. I learned about authority, but I wasn't skilled in it. I was glad to know about it, but when I heard the gunfights, I had to do something, or I was going to see people die in front of me. So I just said, Satan, you can't kill anybody and you can't hurt anybody. I knew that he'd use a conflict to shoot some innocent little girl somewhere. Mm-hmm. Because it used to happen. A little girl gets shot because of crazy drug dealers. And they still mad at each other. They didn't mean to kill the girl, but they can't shoot. I mean, they flicked it. they hardly ever hit that target. And then they turn the gun sideways and try to shoot. I'll win against them with a BB gun. but the enemy is behind it. The enemy is behind, so you got to stop him. And then as I saw, in those days, I became more skilled with authority. And then I started using it for other things, and I expected to win. At first, I didn't know whether I'd win or not, but it was like a reflex, and it worked. And then, you know, you grow and you become skilled in it. As we studied what happened with them, because they just, you know, they got a lot of information in 3 years, but they wasn't, if you don't practice it, it don't stick. And they saw Jesus. They had that record. They could, you know, they remember what he did. They remember that he was fearless. They had a vision through him. But skill takes more than that. You have to apply what you learn. Whatever you learn, use it. All right. Now they set up false witnesses. Now that's not the first time they run into that, because they tried it with Jesus. And they set up false witnesses which said, this man ceases not to speak blasphemous words against this holy place and the law. For we have heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth shall destroy this place and shall change the customs which Moses delivered us. And all that sat in the congregation, looking steadfastly on him, saw his face as it had been the face of an angel. The Lord works with us where we are. If we're not skilled, he'll work with us where we are. The strength we have, he'll use that. One scripture earlier on in Revelation, it said that the enemy is going to come and put some of you in jail, but fear not. They weren't skilled to resist Satan, so he just said, don't fear him. He'll work with our strengths and use whatever strength you have by your faith. But you can get skilled to the point, and it's so simple. All they had to do is say, Satan, you can't use the Pharisees against the church. You can't use the rebellious Jews against the church. And they would have had free course. And the enemy would have, without the enemy stirring them up, they would have just sat on the sidelines. When the Lord was teaching me about warfare, I was, you know, he said, when you tell Satan he's got to go, he's got to go.
Amen.
And that, my mind, it just wouldn't register that. I said, well, what if he don't go? He said it louder. When you say he has to stop, he has to stop. Mm. And I tried it one more time. Well, what if he don't? When you say he has to stop, he has to stop. And amen. I feared God that third time, and I didn't ask him again. And that loud word three times, it just etched in my spirit. And I never had a problem with rebuking the spirit of death. In fact, when I hear somebody's dying, I rebuke the spirit of death. And I've had good success with that. And then with the gunfights and then other things. Authority works, but we have to get skilled with it. We have the luxury of time. We can see that all we have to do is say what Satan can't do. I learned this a lot of other ways too, not just by the books and the tapes of Kenneth Hagin, but I knew a guy, the Lord had called him to be a prophet, and that was a guy that was, the enemy was using him to aggravate him. And James said the Lord told him to tell Satan that he can't speak. And in the course of everything going on, the Lord told him that, and he silently said to himself, the guy didn't hear him, he said, Satan, you can't speak in Jesus' name. And the guy stopped cold turkey, didn't say another word. And then he got in his car and drove off. And then James looked at me and said, did you see that? I said, see what? He said, he was aggravating me, and the Lord told me to tell Satan that he can't speak. And I did, and he just got in his car and drove, didn't say another word. Now, so I use that tactic. You know, if I see Satan stirring up something, I say, Satan, stop it, you can't speak. And they'll just quit. Two guys in the shop was they were having a heated argument. I said, stop it, Satan, in Jesus' name. And they just stopped and walked away. The enemy always stirs up people. But the Lord taught me in those days, when you tell Satan to stop, humans will go, they're not much of a threat. They'll go back to, their courage comes from Satan. It's just like wine. People get courage out of a bottle. Well, most of the time, people that stir stuff like this up, if you ever see a Western, they want to hang somebody, they go get liquored up, and they'll stir each other up, and then they'll go and do whatever it was they're going to do. But if they had Marshall Dillon, he'll say, no, you're not going to do it. and then he scattered them back, put the man in jail, leave him alone, and he go out there with that rifle, and they scatter. You know, that's what we're dealing with. It's the same thing. Well, with authority, we have to grow in skill. And all they had to do is speak the word. Tell Satan he can't kill nobody. He can't hurt anybody. It's as simple as that. In chapter 7, and then the Lord gave him a witness, because whenever rightly divided word is spoken, the Lord always follows it with signs and wonders. And verse 15 says, and all that sat in the council, looking steadfastly on him, saw his face as it had been the face of an angel. They had that witness. The Lord told me something Friday night. I just laid in the bed and prayed that night before I went to sleep. And he said to me that obedience is anointing. Anytime you act, you obey God, your actions are anointing. Mm-hmm. Now, disobedience is not anointing, but obedience has an anointing in it. It's just like the Word of God has an anointing. And then the Lord anoints people to do specific things, and they have an anointing. When a man preach, he's anointed. But the only part of his preaching or teaching that's anointed is the rightly divided, the intended meaning of the Holy Ghost in the first place. That's what's anointed. If he deviates, that's not anointed. Error is not anointed. It won't. There's no anointing on any form of error. The mind of man, anything that's just not the intended meaning of the Holy Ghost, that's not anointed. But anything, everything else is. So in chapter 7, then said the high priest, are these things so? Now they're looking at the man, he got the face of an angel, and they still ask him, are these things so? And he said, men, brethren, fathers, hearken. The God of glory appeared unto our father Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia before he dwelt in Haran. In Genesis, that's Haran. Abraham's brother was Haran mates. You know, they named that city after him. And said unto him, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred, and come into the land which I shall show thee. Then came he out of the land of the Chaldeans and dwelt in Haran. And from there he, when his father was dead, he removed him into the land wherein ye now live. And he gave him none inheritance in it, no, not so much as to set his foot on. Yet he promised that he would give it to him for a possession, and his seed after him, when as yet he had no child. And God spake on this wise, that his seed should sojourn in a strange land, and that they should bring him into bondage and entreat them evil 400 years. And the nation to whom they shall be in bondage will I judge, saith God. And after that they shall come forth and serve me in this place. And he gave him the covenant of circumcision, and so much Abraham, Isaac, and so Abraham begat Isaac and circumcised him the eighth day, and Isaac begat Jacob, and Jacob begat the 12 patriarchs. The patriarchs moved with envy, sold Joseph into Egypt, but God was with him. And there again, Satan is doing something. He tried to betray Joseph with his own brothers. Verse 10, and delivered him out of all his afflictions, and gave him favor and wisdom in the sight of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And he made him governor over Egypt and all his house. You know, I never thought of him being a governor, but that's what he was. Mm-hmm. Now, there came a dearth over all the land of Egypt and Canaan, and great affliction, and our fathers found no sustenance. But when Jacob heard that there was corn in Egypt, he sent out our fathers first. And the second time Joseph was made known to his brethren, and Joseph's kindred was made known to Pharaoh. Then sent Joseph and called his father Jacob to him, and all his kindred, 75 souls. So Jacob went down into Egypt and died, he and our fathers, and were carried over into Sychem, and laid in the sepulcher of Abraham, bought for a sum of money, and the sons of Emor, the father of Sychem. But when the time of the promise drew near, which God had sworn to Abraham, the people grew and multiplied in Egypt, till another king arose which knew not Joseph. The same dwelt subtly with our kindred, and evil entreated our fathers, so that they cast out their young children to the end they might not live. In which time Moses was born, and was exceeding fair, and nourished up in his father's house 3 months. And when he was cast out, Pharaoh's daughter took him up, and nourished him for her own. And Moses was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians, and was mighty in words and in deeds. And when he was full 40 years old, it came into his heart to visit his brethren, the children of Israel. And seeing one of them suffer wrong, he defended him, and avenged him, and was opposed, and smote the Egyptian. For he supposed his brethren would have understood how that God by his hand would deliver them, but they understood not. We'll pick up that next week.
What's the verse you're picking up at?
At verse 25. We'll stop at 25. And all these things were heard in Paul's ears. These were the pricks that he was kicking against. These were the pricks that helped him believe. And he was fighting it because he saw it another way. But Stephen spoke by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and it was a prick. He had to deal with these words, these anointed words. These words were more powerful than the false training that he got. Mm-hmm. He heard the words, but they put an antichrist spin on it. And these were the pricks that he was kicking against. But as we learn the skill of God, we can secure, when the great move of God happens, as it happens, whatever you notice the enemy is doing, mm-hmm. take authority over it. Brother Lynn Lawson, he said things, he used to be he's the pastor of the church at Gardendale. I don't know if he's still there or not. But years ago, he used to come on the radio, and he said that one day things were just going wrong in the church. And he said, I rebuke all the evil words spoken against this ministry. And he said everything got better. He also said somebody broke in his house and stole some jewelry, guns, whatever valuables they had. And he said, Satan, you bring all that stuff right back in Jesus' name. And all of it came right back. as we're skilled in our authority and we see the enemy doing something, you can, it's going to be small when he, whatever he starts. If you see any form of dissension, any kind of problem, if the Lord help you overhear something, that's the Lord giving you that information so that you can do something about it. If he show it to you in a vision, just take authority over it. Dear Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you for all that you're doing. Help us to supersede the expectations of this world. Help us to do all that's in your heart and learn from all the works of our former brothers and acts. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.